Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Ernest Maddox of the Point of Light Christian Center and Dr. E. Maddox Ministries. We welcome you from around the world to this broadcast relative and pertinent to the Word of God. We encourage you to call a friend and have them to call in at 646-716-8530 so they can listen on their phones, or go online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Dr. Maddox. That's DRMADDOX. We are here every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We want to encourage you to go to the bookstore, the ministry bookstore, www.DREMADDOX.org. We have a blessing there for you, all kinds of training materials, videos, MP3s that you can benefit from relative to the Word of God. There are three books that we have now: Impact of a Deliverance Prayer, Apostolic Manifesto, and Weapons of Our Warfare. Now, for a period of time, if you purchase Apostolic Manifesto and Weapons of Our Warfare, the book Impact of a Deliverance Prayer will be given free of charge. So I would encourage you to go to the website right now. You can reach us at Dr. E. Maddox Ministry via phone at 248-796-8523, the Point of Light Christian Center, 248-423-9289. We just want to take a moment to ask God to bless us as we move into the Word of God. I know that you will be blessed. So our great Father in heaven, we thank you now for the word that you are about to deliver over these airwaves. All of you be blessed, be delivered, and be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Now we will bring that Word of God to you.
Might as well put your hands together. Put them together, come on. I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got faith.
Going to meet opposition. Get used to it if you are not. Understand that there is no territory or demilitarized zone that you can have an acquaintance with the enemy and you and him choose a place in your life where you will not challenge him and he will not send the hordes of hell in your direction. Am I clear with that? We are always looking for a way. And I say we, I include me. We're human. We like to have periods in our lives where we are not in a struggle, confrontation, or pushing back against something. I want to go to Mark the 8th chapter. Because we have already entered this period. See, we can always say, you know, times are getting bad. Things are changing. We need to adapt. Amen? We truly need to adapt. Now, that was a handheld mic that I had access to before. Is that possible to do the same this evening before I proceed? Could I? Yeah. Yes. No, I'm going to use this, but I also need the handheld. Praise the Lord. Because I want to make sure that I found out that when we tape and I ask people to read, it doesn't come out on the tape. So people are trying to figure out what was read and what was said. So we want to make sure. Now, would you hand it to Minister Robinson?
I'm going to sound real groggy.
You do?
Yes.
Well, who has a strong voice tonight?
Amen. Thank you.
Either one of these brothers. Let's start with this one. Amen.
Hello. Now,
praise the Lord. Thank you. What is your name?
John.
All right, warrior. I want you to begin. Somebody give that brother a sword. Amen.
Thank you. Where am I starting at?
We want you to start around verse 20. Mark 8:20.
All right, I got it. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They answered 7.
All right. Christ is speaking about the miracle. Keep going.
He said to them,
I want you to be powerful now. Don't be nervous. Just speak up.
He said to them, do you still not understand? They came to Bethesda, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to teach him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, do you see anything? He looked up and said, I see people. They looked like trees walking around. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, don't go into the village. Jesus and his disciples went onto the villages around Caesarea Philippi. Thank you. On the way, he asked them, who do people say I am?
Okay, stop right there. Thank you. Now, we broke into a scenario relative to the feeding of individuals, and you know the story. Then there was a healing of a blind individual. It was partial, then it became progressive and complete. Now, during this process, a question developed, and it was posed by Jesus Christ. He says, "Who do men say that I am?" Now, they have been together at some point for some time. So they had an idea just based on what he was doing. But evidently, Christ thought it was necessary to say, "Who do they say I am?" He didn't ask them first, "Who do you think I am?" "Who do they say I am?" Amen. Now, could you give this brother the mic? And I want you to start in the verse that my first brother left off at. Please stand.
Verse 28 says, "And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others, one of the prophets." Verse 29 says, "And he saith unto them,"
Praise the Lord. he was gone, wasn't he? Praise the Lord. John the Baptist, amen, Elijah, and who else?
One of the prophets.
And one of the prophets. So there were different opinions that the disciples had. Why is that? Why isn't it that when we're in a situation and we're seeing what's happening, none of the prophets ever fed 5,000 plus people with a couple of loaves of bread and a few fish? The tendency is that when we see something we'd never seen before, and we are referencing something we should believe, Moses, Elijah, and the prophets, when we have a reference point, why is it that we have to go historical? Why can't our minds accept that right now we are in a period of provision? Why can't we accept that we are in living history? Why can't we accept that we are part of something that's miraculous and phenomenal? But we go historical and sometimes hysterical, and we want to draw on history when we're looking at current events. Are we so confused after being with Christ and the Holy Spirit being in us that we can't believe that we are a part of something, but we continuously have to make historical references to identify with, because we are only good enough historically to experience the power of God and not currently? I want you to think about that. I want you to comprehend this, because history is good to let us know if we're on the right track. But when you're on the right track, you should be able to recognize that history is also telling you that your history is being manifested right now. That your history is being recorded right now. In the book of Revelations, it says, and the books were open, and men were judged by the things that were written in the book. Your history is being recorded right now. And Christ is asking you right now, first, who do men say I am? But that's only after you've seen some things right now. They did not read about Elijah, Moses, and the prophets and say, oh, they fed 5,000. They witnessed it. And then Christ asked them a question to see if they could relate to their current power, or were they still so mesmerized in disbelief that the only reference point that they could draw on, well, just let my mind, I could deal with it historically. So you got to be Moses. You got to be Elijah, or you got to be one of the prophets. This can't be right now. So whatever is happening now is based on some historical figure. See, but you know what's interesting about Moses? Nobody knew he was Moses. They know his name was Moses, but they didn't know he was Moses until it was all said and done. They didn't know Elijah was Elijah until it was all said and done. They didn't know any of the prophets was a prophet until it was all said and done. And they did it and said it without any accolades at the time. They did it and said it without a title or recognition. Joseph is insignificant as a name until you read what happened to him. Daniel is insignificant as a name until you read what happened to him. Esther is insignificant as a name until you recognize the event connected to the name. There are events connected to your name, and you have not recognized the significance of those events, because you're still comparing yourself historically. And you believe that an historical moment will always overshadow the moments in your life. But Christ said, greater things you will do. Now, let's go back to Mark 8. And we want to continue to read, because there is not just identification of an issue, it's a solution to the problem. Will you continue to read, my friend?
Verse 29.
Yes.
Okay.
But don't let it disrupt you.
All right. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, thou art the Christ. Verse 30 says, and
Wait. He first asks, who do men say that I am?
Right.
Now he's asking, who do you say that I am? Correct? Now, there are 12 individuals there that we know for sure, correct? And one of them answered. Now,
verse 30 says, and he charged them
No, no, go back.
Go to
Peter 29. Answered and said.
And Peter answers and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ.
Keep going.
Verse 30 says, And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. Verse 31.
He letting that bother him.
And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again.
Stop right there. Now, in this pericope of text, in this dialogue, and if you read the whole chapter, you'll see, but we started the feeding and the blindness, and we move into a question. And there was a general response. So there are two things that are always going to happen in your life as the miracle is being developed. First, the question is going to come, who do people think you're following? You're going to ask yourself that. Christ asked them, who do they say I am? Then he asked a very direct question. Who do you think I am? One individual answered that we know of. And Christ's response was, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father from heaven. Now, I'm going to say this. Everybody in here has gotten a revelation. And that revelation came after a scenario of events that raised a series of questions. And in some of those questions, you were asking yourself, who am I? Who's talking to me? Then some of you got clarity because God gave you a revelation just like he gave Peter. So flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but the Holy Spirit did. And then when you got that revelation, instantly you begin to see that that revelation, it's going to bring some challenges. Instantly, when that revelation came, Christ said, God revealed that to you. Now, guess what? Then he begins to tell, because I am that, this is what's going to happen. Now, you're going to, boy, you better, you if you miss this, and I'm talking to you, you know, to you that right now probably in the midst of them questions. Yeah, he don't know me. He don't. It's all right. Because I know what you've been called to do. I don't have to know you to know what you've been called to do. I don't have to know your name, where you work, how much education you got, how long you've known Christ. If you in here right now, you have something to do. Well, I'm not baptized. I'm still smoking weed. I'm still smoking crack. I'm still smoking weed and crack and getting drunk. I don't care. Because at some point, whatever it is that you're doing, if you're singing in the choir and you're singing off key, you're going to have to get that right. So I don't care how big or small or what the magnitude is. Wherever you are right now, you're going to have to get to where God told you to be in recognizing a revelation that God has given to you. and you don't have a choice. You say, yes, I do. I don't have to do it. Do you know even the folks that don't have to do it have to do it anyway? There are several ways you can do it. I told a young man one time, I said, God has called you to the ministry. He said, I know it, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to keep selling dope, and I'm going to keep gangbanging. And can't nobody make me do nothing. I said, you will perform your ministry. He said, God can't make me, and you can't make me. I said, look, brother, don't get it twisted. I'm not trying to make you. Amen? I said, but we will talk, and in a 24-month period, you will be telling me about your ministry. He said, the only way I'm going to do a ministry is I'm going to have to be put in a situation where I don't have no choice. I did like that and stepped back because I didn't want to be in a 12-foot radius. Well, less than 24 months later, he had gotten caught doing something he wasn't supposed to be doing, and he got incarcerated. And Bubba and Triple Lifer and a brother called Resurrection of the Dead was looking at his gluteus maximus. And he said he prayed that God would protect him. And God said, I'll protect you. Go to the chapel and assist the penitentiary pastor. Serve unto him and begin to teach and to preach to the young men who come and get incarcerated. And he told God he wasn't going to do it. Well, one night, Resurrection of the Dead, and them other two brothers came to see him. And this is what I understand was said. I don't see why you guys want to do this to me. I work with the penitentiary pastor. And they didn't bother him. But guess what he had to do the next day? Okay. I'm going to move on to something else now. See, don't get confused about the state you're going to be in when you do it. You will do it. And you will be put just where you asked to be put. The only way I'm going to do it is I'm going to have to be forced to do it. And guess what? You'll find that you are a prophet. You will discover you will be forced to do it. I just wanted to share that. Because some of you are running, ducking. I call those kind of individuals Christians, disqualifying Christians. I'm going to define that. You know God has called you to do something, and you're doing everything in your life wrong to make God leave you alone. God ain't going to want me to preach if I keep doing this. I know he ain't going to ordain me if I keep doing this. And I know he don't want me to do this after I do this. You can't dirty yourself enough. Now, some of you are saying, I don't know what he's talking about. And some of you are saying, who told him? Come on, my brother, continue to read. Help him, Jesus.
Okay. Verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Verse 32, and he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Verse 33, but when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men.
Okay, stop right there. Here's an individual who a few verses earlier got a divine revelation from God that none of the other disciples got, correct? And Christ began to explain what that divine revelation will mean. And the same individual who had the divine revelation said, this ain't going to happen, and I'm going to prevent it from happening. And what did Christ the second time, after just saying only the Father could have revealed that to you, now what is he calling him? Do you understand what happened here? Do you realize that you can go from a divine revelation, because you don't want to deal with the realities of what it means, you can go from a divine revelation from God and putting yourself in a Satan situation. Now, I'm going to let you, some of you need to make that transition. You can go from, I'm the only one got a revelation. How about that? I'm the dog. I'm the bigger. And you go from that to the same Christ that was amazed at the fact that God would give you a revelation. Now he's amazed at the fact that you acting like Satan. Amazing feat to go from divine revelation to satanic agenda. To go from divine revelation to satanic agenda. To go from divine revelation to satanic agenda. How does that happen? Because you reject the details of the divine revelation. Now, how do I know? Everybody in here who's been baptized, you had a divine revelation. Now, I know what you're thinking. Yeah, see, I haven't had any visions. I haven't had any divine revelation. I beg to differ. If you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, think about who you were before you did that and who you became when you did that, and you know you got a divine revelation. You got a divine revelation. You did get a divine revelation, because you were sucking the paint off the inside of that crack pipe when God called you. And there are a couple of other things I could say that we all did that would not be appropriate for the camera or the tape. But you know, and you went from that to listening to a preacher preach on the word of God and trying to tell everybody you knew. When God called me, I went to every big dope dealer and every gangbanger I knew. Y'all need to know about Jesus. And most of them wanted to know, is that a new weed? Where do we get that from? I said, no, I'm not talking about, I'm talking about Jesus Christ. You mean the church Jesus Christ? And they concluded that I was crazy. That I consumed too much of my own product. So you know what I'm talking about. Whatever it was you were doing. So don't tell me you didn't get a divine revelation. To go from what you were to where you are now in your thinking. Now, here's what happens. Once you begin to realize that after that divine revelation, and you get to hear about all of the stuff that you're going to have to deal with to maintain your status in that divine revelation, you want to bring some of that old stuff in. Then we get confused with a fake grace message. Some people get confused, well, if I keep Saturday, I can do whatever I want to do. That's a movement that's out there now.